All right. Well, listen, this past year, starting last April, has been really tough. It's been almost 1 year of really difficult time. And at first, I wondered, like, what is going on? And all I heard the Lord speak clearly, and he said, stay low, keep my eyes. He told me to keep my eyes on his heart, stay humble, and let him work without me getting in the way. And at the end of February, you know, this is like 6, 7 months later, 8 months later, he started challenging me to give attention to parts of my life and get in shape. And that's why I went back to the gym and also started really practicing godliness. And this is what, you know, and, you know, in March I was in California sharing, and in a first principles group out of Hebrews 4 and 5 on maturity. And the word really struck me. I mean, I was just there kind of facilitating discussion. And I mean, it came off the page and hit my heart. And on the way home, I listened to Steve's message that he had preached 3 days before that, and he was preaching on maturity, and we did not talk. And I'm just saying, oh God, like something's going on. And I determined in my heart, this week I'm gonna like really pour into this whole concept of maturity. And especially out of Ephesians 5, you know, I started seeing things like realizing that maturity is something you need to maintain. It's not somewhere you arrive. It's a state of being. And so the other day I was even looking, because I was thinking, like, is this something God's just doing in my heart? Is this something God's doing in the body? And then I read something else that Wes Pearson said. She just posted on Facebook, and she goes, a few months back during an important conversation, if you don't know who she is, she pastors with Tommy, her husband, a church in Carmel, Maine. She said, I've been, someone called me and my marriage and my family toxic. I was startled by this, but we stayed silent. I have learned something invaluable about sonship and knowing my identity. God can and will use anyone to speak to us. Because I believe this, I decide to keep silent and take it before the Lord, to ask him if there was any truth in this, if there was any place where we could grow or learn and become more like Jesus in any area. He has spoken to me about a lot of areas of my inner life that need repentance, not in regard to being toxic, but regardless. And so I have been confessing and repenting and going low before the throne of grace. The truth is, no one and nothing can devalue me before God. My position's established, and I am unfathomably loved. Because I truly believe this, I can have ears to hear and be open to bring anything, even what seems like harsh judgments, before God and be open to hear if there's any truth in it. I can do this without harboring bitterness and returning the judgment toward whoever spoke it. There's so much freedom in the love of God. There is so much wisdom in his love. There is peace and joy. Don't get bitter. Instead, be filled with his love, and he will continue to transform us in his likeness. We are living for another age. Seasons of struggle are an opportunity to grow in maturity. You know, and I thought it was just us, but folks, I was on another pastor's call with a group of pastors from all over the country, and they are all resonating with this same experience, that it has been a year of tremendous struggle. And as I shared last time, maturity is developed in the same way that you get in shape, by going to the gym. Maturity is not a position you reach. It's not like physical maturity where there's not much you could do about it. You are mature and there's nothing you could, can't drink some special potion or take a pill. You are mature. But spiritual maturity is different. It's like being in shape. It's like when you stop exercising yourself in the application of the word to your heart for continued transformation, you regress and become immature. This is what we see in Ephesians 5. Concerning this, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain, since you have become dull and sluggish in your spiritual hearing and disciplined to silence. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, because of the time you've had to learn all these truths, you actually need someone to teach you again the elementary principles from the beginning, and you've come to be continually in need of milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is doctrinally inexperienced. It doesn't mean you don't know it. It means you're not practicing the Jesus way of living and growing in it. Unskilled in the word of righteousness since you're a spiritual infant. But solid food is for the spiritually mature whose senses are trained by... Come on, guys. What are we talking about? Maturity. Practice. Your senses are trained by practice. Maturity is trained by practice. Difficult times are the practice, the very resistance that produces growth and maturity. Listen to James 1. Consider it nothing but joy, my brothers and sisters, those who just got baptized. Consider it pure joy whenever you fall into various trials or struggles. Be assured that the testing of your faith through experience produces endurance, patience, leading to spiritual maturity and inner peace. Anyone want that? Inner peace, peace in your heart? And let endurance or patience have its perfect result and do a thorough work, so that you may be perfect and completely developed in your faith, mature, lacking nothing. And that's what I want to focus a little bit today on, is what you'd need to do to get in shape spiritually, to grow and maintain your maturity. You'll never escape the hardship, folks, because when you get strong and you can lift a plate on each side, which is nothing like I used to do, I become very physically in shape, immature. And so my big goal was, I can't like do these 25 on each side. I got to get to the 45s, like at least to, as a starting place. And so that was my big thing. I got to get to one plate. And I did. Like within the first 2 weeks, I was able to get to a plate. Oh, yeah, come on. Steve's still down in Florida, but when we used to go all the time, I lifted more. I was probably, you got to say something like this and tell him when you see him, say, oh, so when you and Sean lifted, who could lift more? And see what he says. We'll see if he's being honest. We used to go like almost every day. But when was the last time, you know, you've thought about, what do I need to do to get in shape? And in James 1, it talks about, if any of you lacks wisdom, we're going to look at James 1 today, and this is where we're going to land and extract four principles out of this for our lives, that we can take these four things and really apply them. They're principles. It's not a formula. It's principles from the Word that will help you this week, if you really go after them. Anyway, James 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom to guide him through a decision or circumstance, he is to ask of our benevolent God, who gives to everyone generously and without rebuke or blame, and it will be given to him. But he must ask for wisdom in faith, without doubting God's willingness to help. For the one who doubts is like a billowing surge of sea that's blown and tossed by the wind. For such a person ought not to think or expect that he'll receive anything from God. Being a double-minded man, unstable and restless in all his ways, in everything he thinks, feels, and decides. See, our practice comes with asking. Now, some of you are saying, oh, yeah, I ask him all kinds of things. I have a list that I ask him like all my wants, right? That's not what I'm talking about. Most of us use our own faculties and wisdom to decide what we want to ask God for, what we think is important to ask him. When is the last time you asked God what you should ask for? Do you see what I'm saying? Like, we are so entrenched in humanism that we decide what is important to ask God based on our own wisdom, and we wonder why he doesn't answer our prayer. You know, I ran across a businessman on this last trip, and it was just a blast. But, you know, one of the things that, super generous, and extremely successful. And he confessed, you know, Sean, I realized over the past few years that I'm incredibly small-minded. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, I used to ask God to do certain things in my life, and then it dawned on me, you know, I'm small-minded. I need God's help to think like he does and believe like he does. So I started asking him, Lord, what would you like to do in my business this year? How much do you want me to believe that you're going to increase it and pour out your favor? And when he started doing this, God started speaking to him these numbers that far exceeded what he was going to ask for. And it was uncomfortable for him to ask for a certain amount of growth. And so he said, so I started this. And you know, Sean, there were employees that got the same vision for growth that I said. And they would be, we'd have coffee in the morning and one of them would say, yeah, this thing should go 90% this year. And he was stunned and saying like, I can't believe God is like. So God trained him to start asking, Lord, what should I believe for? How should I believe? And I want to encourage you today, ask God what you should believe for your own life, your business, your ministry, your family, because it will exceed your wildest imaginations most of the time. And it'll stretch you. He said he was uncomfortable with believing for it. He's like, how are you going to do this, Lord? And God did it. Verse 9, it says, let the brother in humble circumstances glory in his high position as a born-again believer, called to the true riches and an heir of God, and the rich man is to glory in being humbled by trials revealing human frailty, knowing true riches are found in the grace of God. For like the flower of the grass that will pass away, for the sun rises with scorching wind and withers the grass, its flower falls off and its beauty fades, so too will the rich man in the midst of his pursuits fade away. The second point here that we learn from James 1 is that we need to identify with Christ. Our relationship with God through what Christ has done. That is what we discern ourselves by, not our circumstances. How many of you last time you struggled and you thought, oh, what's wrong with me? I must have done something to offend God. Right? Be honest. Raise your hand high if you've had this thought recently. Like, right? I mean, listen, it crossed every single one of our minds. And, you know, like if you think that ministers and pastors, are you kidding? Asked me 2 months ago and I was ready to quit. You're like, what? Yeah. Because it was horribly difficult. So discouraging. So many times I've been there. You know, business is easy. You just, it's so fulfilling and you see growth and whew. See, struggles are an opportunity to prove that we're not led or fed by things other than Jesus Christ. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, Matthew 4:4 and Deuteronomy 8:3. Verse 12, we're going to move on to point 3 here. Blessed, happy, spiritually prosperous, and favored by God is the man who is steadfast, unshakable, under trial, and perseveres when he's tempted. For when he has passed the test and been approved, he will receive a victor's crown of life, which the Lord's promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he's tempted, I mean tempted by God. For temptation does not originate from God, but it originates from our own flaws. For God cannot be tempted by what is evil, and he himself tempts no one. Each one is tempted when he's dragged away, enticed, and baited to commit sin by his own worldly desire, his lust, his passion. Then when the illicit desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when the sin ran its course, it gives birth to death. Do not be misled, brothers and sisters. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, the creator and sustainer of the heavens, in whom there's no variation, no rising or setting or shadow cast by his turning. He is perfect and never changes. It was of his own will that he gave birth as his children by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Listen, this is great. A prime example of what he created to be set apart to himself. We are his masterpieces. Really? And he puts you through struggles because he wants to see them polished and shine. And just think about the friction of a cloth. That is not fun. It's not like it's friction that produces that shine and polish. Sanctified, made holy for his divine purpose. Understand this, my brothers and sisters. Let everyone be quick to hear. Be careful, thoughtful listener. Slow to speak. A speaker of carefully chosen words. And slow to anger, patient, reflective, forgiving. For the resentful, deep-seated anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. That standard of behavior which he requires from us. So get rid of all uncleanness and all the remains of wickedness, and with a humble spirit receive the word of God, which is implanted, actually rooted in your hearts, which is able to save your soul. You know, as we're just talking now, what's God exposing in your heart right now? You're like, oh, I've been saved 20 years, you know, nothing really. Oh, you got a problem there. I'll tell you what, every single one of us, at any given moment, if someone said, what's God doing in your life? This is a true test whether you are really on an active, engaged growth process with God. If you can't answer right off the top of your head, oh, he's dealing with pride lately, this week especially. He's dealing with pride. He's after humility in me. Oh, my mouth, my tongue, it's out of control. I blurt things out and I need to shut it and process first. If you can't list real time something God's doing in your heart, something's wrong. You're not listening. We are all in a massive lifetime growth process where he's challenging, encouraging us, polishing us, refining us. When you start practicing or struggling, this is point three, pass the test. Don't blame shift to God or others. Humble yourself. Look at your own life and learn what God is trying to expose. Repent of any flaw or sin. We just read about this. That's causing you to be tempted. He created you to pass the test, to be a prime example set apart to himself for his purposes. Verse 22, we're coming up on point four here. But prove yourselves doers of the word, actively and continually obeying God's precepts and not merely listeners who hear the word but fail to internalize its meaning. You know, today, in all I'm sharing, are you able to take it and internalize it and say, oh, this is what God's after in my heart. This is what God's after. This is what he wants me to change and grow in right now. He's spoken to me. Might even be something unrelated to anything I said, but the Spirit of the Lord is here, and he's speaking to hearts, and he's speaking to you to grow and become mature. Those who don't internalize its meaning, deluding themselves by unsound reasoning contrary to the truth. For if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it, he's like a man who looks at himself in the mirror and walks away and forgets what he looks like. But he who looks carefully into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and faithfully abides by it, not having become a careless listener, who forgets but an active doer, who obeys, he will be blessed and favored by the Lord in all he does in his life of obedience. This fourth point is commit to walk out the word in your life. Be a doer of the word. This means we repent or we change the way we think. And that affects the way we live. We apply the word to our heart. We internalize its meaning. And our outward action changes. He changes us from the inside out. Come on, people of God. So, who's in? Who's in? Seriously. So don't ever say again, oh, the Lord just doesn't love me. I'm going through such trial. Something must be wrong with me, right? This is all your life process, and he has great reward for you passing these tests. Every single one of us. We basically ask God for his opinion instead of us always forming our own. Lord, how should I believe? What should I believe for? What are you doing in my life? What should I ask you for help in? Look to Christ, not your circumstances. Repent to pass the test. And let his word change you from the inside out. Now, some of you have been a believer for a very long time. And, you know, like, I have too. I've fasted, I've prayed, I've pursued the Lord. But you know what? You get out of shape. All of us do. And when we do, we need to get back in shape. We need to practice. Like, some of the things I've been praying lately, because I was so inspired by this businessman that literally, like, I was like, I mean, you know, nothing I'm saying is so profound, but I was like, you know, he's asking God what to believe for, asking God what, how should I try to grow? What should I do? Instead of coming up with his own ideas, I was so excited by that I started praying when I was away for this time in Florida, and I was like, Lord, you know, it's been a long time. I've gotten things from the Lord, like normally, like when I'm starting to wake up in the morning, I get things. And at that point in time, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. He lays this person or that person on my heart, and I pray and say, I got to follow up. But you know what? I'm too lazy to reach over to my phone and put it in my notes because it's the middle of the night. And so I repented for that. And I said, and then in the morning, you can't remember. It's like, what did I dream? Who did I think of? I can't remember this. And it's God's way of speaking to me. And I said, I want to be faithful to your word. So for several nights now, I've prayed, Lord, speak to me again. Speak to me again. Speak to me again. And I mean, 3 nights in a row, I take out my notepad as soon as these things, several times a night. I grab my phone and I write down, call so-and-so. Or he spoke to me about a presentation I have coming up. I wrote, don't forget this part of it. God, like, was giving me instruction. And before, I hadn't been faithfully diligent with that. And so I've been grabbing my phone, and then every morning, I look over those things. I call it the God speaking text thread thing. Like, I have this, like, little note that says God speaking. And I'm trying to be faithful and accountable to what God's speaking. Right? Because why is he going to keep speaking to you if you're not faithful to try to do it? Be a doer of the word. Be faithful steward. If you want more, be faithful with what he's given you. And so that's what I've been doing lately. That's one area of many that God's been really honing in and saying, will you be faithful with what I've spoken already? Or is it just wasted words? And it's tough. I got to wake myself up, and I'm not good at that. It takes me sometimes 30 seconds to find out where I am and what I'm doing. And like, oh yeah, it's a long time. It's a long time. I get really deep sleep. I get disoriented and wake up and go, where am I? What day is it? Might take a few minutes to find out what day it is. What's God speaking to your hearts? Let's respond to him today. And let's start this course. And I just want to challenge you. These four things. Ask God. Look at Christ and not your circumstances. Repent and pass the test. Don't pass the buck. Pass the blame. Blame everybody else. Blame yourself. Look to yourself and say, well, what are you doing? And then finally, let the word of God change you from the inside out. Come on, let's respond to him right now. Ask him, whatever he gave you, that thing, let's just, Lord, we just pray right now that we lift this up to you, Lord God, and we say, we show us how to ask you to meet this challenge, Lord. We look to you, Jesus, not our circumstances and our surroundings. We renounce fear and all the other competing voices. We look to you. Lord, we lift this thing up now. Just take a moment right now and just repent and just say, it doesn't mean you have to start crying and stuff. It means you just change your mind. Invite the word to come and challenge that thing and change your perspective and say, I choose this day. I am going to change my attitude here. And I ask for your spirit and your word to come in my heart right now and do a work. Change my insides, Lord, that my outside walk and talk would be reflected. Come on, let's just let you process now. Just take your time and just bring that before the Lord. Maybe it's a few things. Write them down before you leave and start processing these this week. Just take these things before the Lord. God is a God of transformation. He's going to do a work in you.